It's Blade Runner for Dummies. We saw the adventures of Pluto Nash, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Paul, joined, as always, by Jason and June. How are you both?
Good, what's going on?
Very good. We have a pair of special guests today. These two hilarious women are on a brand new show called Best Friends Forever. It's on NBC, premiering April 4th, right?
Yes, yeah. At 8:30, right after Betty White's Off Their Rockers. That's for real.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah, get ready.
That's happening, America.
Please welcome Jessica Sinclair and Lennon Parham.
Thank you for having us.
And you guys are here to talk about Betty White's Off Their Rocks. Yeah.
Yes, of course.
So is it like Howie Mandel's show, but different and older?
Because it's a prank show, but with
old
people.
Person prank show.
Old people. Now, Lennon, do you know if old people prank young people?
Yeah, I think that's
what's
concept.
Going on. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm very excited.
It's
not
innuendo.
A one-time special. It's a
series.
No, it's a series. Yeah. Fantastic.
Uh-huh.
And you guys have been paired with it. Because you guys are appealing
also,
to a similar elderly demographic.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. Elderly women and gay men are our target. That's true.
That's huge.
That's true. This is not a bit. That is true. And if we get those people that I don't need, I can retire.
Is that
basically,
who you're marketing towards?
Yes.
CBS has made a fortune basically doing that.
Yeah, they
that,
have.
I think.
That's true. Yeah, they have.
All right,
I'm
well,
hoping what to is be their, in a remake of Designing
what
Women.
What is their gay people show?
Everything.
CBS.
Blue Bloods.
Blue Bloods. Oh, my God. That's Tom Selleck's mustache, I guess.
Tom Selleck's mustache.
You said Tom Selleck's mustache.
The emphasis
mustache.
Was in a really weird
Wait,
spot.
Wait, I said Tom Selleck's mustache.
No, you
know what,
said
guys?
Tom Selleck.
Screw you guys.
Starring Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck's mustache. All right, so Pluto Nash. The Adventures of Pluto Nash. I just want to open up with my first question, which is, how would you classify this movie? Is it a comedy? No. Is it an action movie?
I don't know. I was confounded by almost every element of this movie. From the beginning to the prologue to the 7 years ahead, I didn't understand if Alec Baldwin was in it or not.
Yes.
Like, I was completely mystified by what was happening. And all of it seemed to be predicated on this action-y shoot 'em up. He's going to be killed just for, like, moon gambling.
I'd also like to know if anyone could describe just like a one line.
What's the pitch?
In one line, what is the movie?
Yeah. You're Black Han Solo on the moon.
Yeah, because of that jacket.
Was he a smuggler?
Yeah, he was a smuggler. Just got out of jail.
On the moon, and
you also are a very famous club owner.
Then you give up smuggling to become a very famous club owner.
Well, he got put in jail. Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
Was he a famous club owner before he got in jail?
Then
there is a timeline problem, because by the time he arrives with Jay Moore and he's in the kilt in the very beginning, everyone's like, ooh, the Pluto Nash.
Because he's smuggling. He was the famous smuggler.
I didn't know that. I thought he had had, and I kept thinking to myself during the first scene, I thought to myself, well, who ran his club when he was in jail?
Sure.
And that wasn't clear. So now that's cleared a lot of
it was maybe an agent.
It also wasn't clear, though.
Start out.
It also really wasn't clear. Did he always have designs to become a club owner? Or
it was
did
his
it
dream,
just
he said.
Of,
when he, when the gangsters,
yes.
When the gangsters are torturing Jay Moore, he says, it's always my dream to open a club of my own.
Oh, he buys Jay Moore's,
okay, because
the club that he's thinking,
is that correct? He settles the debt.
I would pay upwards of $1,000 to just listen to Jessica St. Clair describe the movie she thinks she watched.
Guys, I feel like someone had given me the date rape drug, and then I woke up.
Well, it doesn't make sense.
And my butthole was sore, and I had some vague memories of having screened Pluto Nash. That's the experience of watching that movie.
I thought when he said it was always my dream to open a club that he was lying just to get Jay Moore out of
maybe
a pickle.
That's possible.
The opening scene is Jay Moore on stage being a Scottish crooner named Anthony Frankowski on the moon.
It's on the moon. Just so everybody knows, this movie takes place on the moon.
In the year 2080.
Well, no. It takes place in 2080 for 5 minutes, and then it jumps seven years ahead.
Yes,
I also want to say that Rosario Dawson in one scene keeps referring to back in 76. That's only 4 years ago. That's like if we were like back in 2008.
By the time we see Rosario, it's
2087.
Well, see, I didn't
so
know
yeah.
that. I didn't know what
prior.
Was going on.
She's probably at 9
really,
years
I
old.
Really wish, I really wish you could just describe what you think you saw. Who do you think Rosario Dawson was? Do you know, St. Clair?
She was just a girl who was trying to make it big. She'd come from Salt Lake City. I know she mentioned that.
You're right. That was pretty good.
That's pretty good.
But and also her dad was...
Little Nicky or something.
Famous smuggler?
Yeah, they
wait, her dad was a famous smuggler?
Her dad was Nicky Legs or somebody? Oh.
Nicky Sticks. Isn't that
they
a famous singer?
Nicky Sticks is the guitar.
Oh, I thought it was Nicky Sticks.
For,
I thought they were...
Motley
Crue.
Basically, what we're saying is this movie, from moment one, actively doesn't make any sense. Yeah. And it is definitely not a comedy. I counted 1.5 jokes.
What were they?
I laughed out loud.
I want to know what the half was.
Okay,
I laughed out loud once.
Oh, really? Okay, what was your... Let's see. If
that was when Eddie Murphy did that really long pause after Jay Moore
that was
described how he was going to make it to the other elevator.
Yes. I thought that was that was a joke. That was a solid joke. And I considered the half joke the robot maid who would bend over. They called that the oops program.
Yeah.
They could look at her robot vagina. Like that was basically like what Eddie Murphy gets
looking at
robot vagina.
I'll tell you what's a disturbing moment of the film is when who's that Latino man?
Luis Guzman
talks about renting a robot to rape that robot and then it turning on him.
There's
Terminator
a lot of,
style. Yeah. He references the Terminator movie.
What's wrong with that?
It's terrifying to me. That's not right.
A
That's
robot,
a message
though.
We're sending that isn't right.
It wasn't like he rented a tiny child.
Oh,
he
no. My understanding was he had a robot that he was the pimp for.
No, my
he rented
no,
that
he
robot
tried
out.
To have sex with that
yes,
robot.
Yes, then
and the
he
robot
tried to have sex with
him.
It. Yes, then the robot turned on him and went Terminator style, which is a reference that at that point is...
hundreds of years old.
it's like
referencing a talkie now.
But at the same time, there's a point in the movie where Eddie Murphy is watching a Jimmy Cagney movie.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So I guess all time
yes, but
is
nobody
fun.
Remembers Frank Sinatra.
No.
Oh, right,
no.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Here, I mean, just so...
The timeline is up for grabs.
We're not going to go step by step by the movie because it's going to make...
We are already... And by the way, if you're confused by what's happening in the podcast...
So are we.
The movie is a billion times more confusing.
Basically, all you need to know is that someone wants Eddie Murphy to sell his club. He says no. They blow it up. And then the whole movie is running into a cameo, explosions, running into a cameo, explosions, running into a cameo. That's
space gunfights.
Eddie Murphy fighting himself.
Oh, and then the big...
Oh, yeah.
Spoiler alert.
I think I knew from the beginning because they started off with a hip-hop version of Blue Moon.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then the soundtrack never failed me for the rest of the time.
Oh,
the
yeah.
soundtrack is one of the worst soundtracks of all time. It's like Saved by the Bell underscoring, like, but jazzy hip-hop. The Blue Moon thing in the beginning was like, hip-hop
crazy.
Blue Moon is really
it's
bad.
It's like...
What about when they show their...
They actually say rap in Blue Moon. They go like, rap. Like they like the hip hop track over the Blue Moon who calls out that
but
rap.
mad props to Rosario and Jay who both did their own singing.
Well, Jay Moore probably shouldn't have done his own singing if he was like that. I mean, I thought that was an odd choice.
It was an odd.
Yeah,
and was Rosario trying to launch a singing career?
Well,
on
you
the
know,
moon.
She was in Rent.
No, I mean in person. Oh,
right.
Oh, she
in
was
in real life.
Right.
Yeah, she
was.
She is a singer. I wrote those lyrics down for that last song because I love them.
Do you want to please sing them?
Yes.
I don't remember the tune, but it was "We be getting crunked up, we be getting pumped up, we put that fire out." I don't know why that's a good thing.
Yeah.
"We lift your glasses higher now."
Isn't the chorus it, "Everything is all right"?
Yeah,
it's the all movie right. ends. It's all the right. movie ends, and that song lets you know that hey, everything is all right. That is a pretty amazing thing. Did you know that this movie was ranked the 79th worst film in 2000, but it has the distinction of being the biggest financial loss of any movie besides John Carter of all time.
Is that true?
Yes, John Carter
beat
it out.
John Carter is destroyed.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
The budget for this movie... Now, by the way, it looks like...
It costs $5 to make.
Exactly.
It's the most sets.
It looks like they just threw a bunch of neon on like Disneyland Street.
Yes.
If you've never been to Universal City Walk, it looks like a dilapidated version of that.
Mm-hmm. And the weird thing about that is like they made this movie. The movie came out in, 2002?
Yeah.
So they made this movie like in the 2000s. It looks like someone in the 70s made a movie about the future.
Well, here's a piece of info I dug up.
The future when they were making it was more futuristic than what the
people
future in this movie
people still use payphones
like.
In this movie.
Yes!
That's the one thing that
guys,
Jetsons don't even use payphones.
Here's the situation. This movie was in development for 17 years.
Yes.
That is insane.
Started off in 1985.
Wow. So that is what they thought the future would be in 1985.
And nobody updated it?
Yeah. They didn't do production design in 1985.
Maybe they
probably
did
it in 2000.
They did those dioramas. Maybe the set designer made those dioramas in 1985. They didn't have, you know.
Well, they got a lot of funny ads in there, like America Online is a big thing in 2008.
Lunar Edition.
Lunar Edition of America Online.
I would love to talk to the costume designer about that rust-colored, ruffled shirt and leather jacket that Rosaria Dawson was in.
It
for
added
most of the
20
movie.
Pounds.
It was
She's
the most unflattering
woman.
Thing I've ever seen.
She was dressed like a pile of garbage. she it looks like someone just
gorgeous woman.
Threw fabric on her tits and was like, "No, you're good. Get on camera."
And all of the men are dressed like Arsenio Hall.
Yes.
On the moon.
It looks like a Steve Harvey clothing store blew up and then outfitted the entire cast.
It literally is like, there's a lunar colony now. Yeah, it's Little America. Yeah. What does everybody wear? Zoot suits? That sounds right.
Well, I mean, again,
Suit Riot.
Again, to talk about how bad.
I own that CD.
What? What are you talking about?
That's true. Isn't
Big
that
Bad
one?
Voodoo Daddy?
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
That, you own that CD? Wait a minute.
Yes.
Wait, is that you have a single?
Whatever the CD single was that had that song.
I feel like if I went into your house, you would have five CDs, and they are
Name
that
them.
CD.
The Shrek 2 soundtrack. Shrek 2 soundtrack.
Oh, not Shrek
Wait,
1?
Why
Shrek
not? 2. Why Shrek 2?
Why not Shrek 1?
I don't know. I own
Did
the
you
Shrek
lose Shrek 1?
Maybe. I don't know. What, but I definitely have Shrek 2.
I feel like you have all soundtracks.
Yes.
Like a Steel Magnolias soundtrack,
that's
maybe?
That's true. Andrew Green Gables soundtrack.
Yep.
That's pretty much it.
Is that it?
Yeah.
And then she has the Gloria.
And like
Winston's Winter.
Maybe,
who are the girls?
You have old
who are
school
the women who
Gloria
used to wear,
Stefan.
Yes. And who are the women that used to wear the satin gloves?
In Vogue.
On Vogue?
In Vogue.
In Vogue.
Never going to get it. Yeah. I own that as
well.
Wow. Movingon.org.
And movingon.org? Is that a different organization than moveon.org?
That's a past tense. One.
Is that a what website?
Or is that
Let's get back to the film.
I wanted to
talk about the film.
Can I go back to Jay Moore for 1 second?
Yeah, sure.
He's very
okay, cuz I was trying to figure out now, was he a performer? So he wasn't Scottish, obviously.
He was
His last name was
I think he was
Frankowski.
A Scottish critic.
Yeah. No, that's Polish.
Polish.
They kept
he
making
Polish,
reference to him
yes.
as Polish.
So he is just a guy who wanted to find, like, a gimmick for his stage persona.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he had sunk all his money.
The Scottish crooner or whatever he called himself.
And the club was a really dingy club because no one wanted to hear this Scottish crooner.
Where a diarrhea appeared to be coming out of the faucet.
That's like your worst nightmare, right?
That bathroom,
that
bathroom was, like, 10 million times worse than the train spotting bathroom.
That's like watching Saw for me, is you having to use that type of bathroom.
Also, interesting fact about Eddie Murphy, when he goes into that disgusting bathroom, he turns on the faucet and like green goo comes out and he's like, let me get my handy wipe out. Eddie Murphy
insert
travels.
Insert shot.
Yes.
Insert shot of handy wipe. Like, extreme close up of a handy wipe being opened.
A little bit of OCD. Like, this is like another part of Pluto Nash's character that we don't really revisit, but he just has handy wipes. When he comes back from the bathroom, Jay Moore is tied up by these gangsters who he owes money to, and they have a can that says battery acid, and they're about to pour it in his mouth via a funnel, but I didn't know that you could get battery acid in a can. Like,
totally.
What would you ever do that? Like, like a can of battery acid, I need to pour that on something. Like,
well, are you going to put it in batteries?
Sure. Just give me that can of battery. It won't eat through the can, though, right?
No.
All right.
Doesn't eat through a battery, does it?
Did you guys recognize the guy's assistant who was helping with the battery acid?
Who was it?
Who isn't?
I think it was the grown-up kid from Bronx Tale.
Really?
Oh.
The cross-eyed guy?
No, that's Victor Varnado.
No, that's the guy we know. That's the guy we know.
Yes.
Victor Varnado we know.
Yes.
I think, is it Max Casella? Is that his name?
Oh, the kid from Doogie Howser?
Yeah. That might have been him.
I'm going to look.
No, that's wrong. Don't... That's wrong.
Well, you just outed
him. Doobie Howser is wrong.
By the way, I'm going to read you what this is. Just we were saying, well, how would you describe this movie? I'm going to describe it to you. Here's how somebody wrote it as a pitch.
Okay.
After his successful club is blown to flaming bits, Pluto and his band travel across the moon looking for clues to who's behind the arson, along with Bruno.
Arson? What arson?
When they blew up his club.
I guess.
But
that's
there aren't any clues.
There's
he
no
knows
clues.
Who blew it up.
Yeah.
He knows who blew it up.
Along with Bruno, his bodyguard, and Dina the singer, Pluto visits a seedy motel, his secret hideout, and the casino of the most powerful man on the moon, searching for the evildoer, only to find the destruction of his club may have been his own fault.
Whoa!
That, I guess, is
when does that happen, that you find out it was his own
one?
He
realized
he's got a clone. He fights himself. He didn't clone himself.
No, but the guy had access to all his brain stuff.
Like, basically, what they did was he got an appendix surgery
in prison,
and they took a piece of his appendix. They cloned a new Eddie Murphy. Then Eddie Murphy found out that he was being a puppet, and then he got rid of the mafia guys that were making him a puppet, and now he's not a puppet. He's a real mafia guy. Gotcha.
I thought there was some really strong character work done by Ileana Douglas.
Yeah. in that wig.
Yeah, that wig. That wig did a lot for her.
And the top and bottoms with cutouts.
I just want to pause for a second. St. Clair, do you know who we're talking
Yes,
about?
The woman who does the cloning.
No, not cloning. She does
body
augmentation.
I think putting them... So there's a scene where they go to get body work done, where it's like moon plastic surgery, and then they look in the mirror, and they could see what they could look
like.
It's
like a funhouse mirror.
That goes on for like 45 minutes. But
I think they
sucked up most of their budget on those shots, honestly.
On those
special
effects.
That's why there was no money for the set or the costume.
But they only do it twice. Like, they look at their body as Africans, like Africans from the jungle, which Eddie Murphy keeps with Eddie Murphy going like, "I look like a doofus."
Yeah.
I look like a doofus. Like, weird term. And, I mean, all right. So he looks
like
a
Amazon
doofus.
One.
Yeah. And that's Amazon, and then they get bodybuilder look.
Venice Beach.
Well, he keeps
Venice
on
Beach is Venice the Beach. Reference.
Yes, Venice Beach.
But he keeps taking the piss out of Rosaria Dawson by telling her she needs a bigger butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Not the worst advice.
Well, then Eddie Murphy creates a body for Rosario Dawson where her boobs are giant and her ass is giant. And he's like, yeah, I like that. It's like, she looks grotesque.
Oh, yeah.
And so does Eddie Murphy.
Is grotesque good? I forget. can we spend, I don't know, maybe the next 30 minutes talking about Randy Quaid's performance in this movie?
Listen, I think he was the only committed member of this cast.
I think you're right.
I feel like he had pathos. I thought he had done some movement work. Yes. I don't know if he worked with a movement coach.
Randy Quaid, just so you know, plays the robot bodyguard who is an older model, and he talks very weird like this, like the whole movie.
And they modulated his voice a bit too.
Yes.
I think that may have been Randy Quaid.
What?
Regardless, I think he was overlooked during awards season.
Really?
I don't know what else was up.
Do you think that this is the performance that...
Lifetime? Yes.
Yes. That they got the people against him, all the people... Who does he say who was against him? Randy Quaid?
The Hollywood Mafia. The Hollywood Mafia, yes.
Was his performance too good in this, and that's why the Hollywood Mafia is coming
I feel
up?
Like this movie might have driven him into absolute insanity.
Yes.
Like, he might have never recovered, because this is the kind of role that you disappear into. Mm-hmm. He might never have come out of it.
Daniel Day-Lewis type of situation.
Totally.
Yeah. I want to know what was up with all the robot sex drive.
Yes.
Every robot was horny as shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was one time
was
where
really
Randy Quaid says, I can't have sex with her because she has 120 volt circuits.
She's 220, he's 110.
Yeah. And he goes, well, why can't you get an adapter? And he goes, just doesn't feel right.
Whoever wrote this movie, right?
It's a condom joke, but it's also, you know what? It's advocating unsafe sex, guys.
Between robots.
You know, adapter on and get
Why
in
would
there.
You invent robots that could fuck each other? I mean, I guess it has a
Who's
thing.
Like, our servant/bodyguard robots are boring. What do they need? I don't know, horniness?
Yeah, like, what? Let's watch them fuck.
And
I
then
guess,
when Louis Guzman pulls...
What'd you call him?
Louis Guzman?
Louis?
Isn't that his name?
Yeah,
what's his name?
Luis
Guzman?
Oh, Lennon's doing it with the right accent.
L-U-I-S.
Okay, sorry. Luis Guzman and Luis C.K.
Louis and Tom Selleck.
And Tom Selleck. Luis Guzman has to jumpstart Randy Quaid at some point,
yes,
and has to pull like a metal rod out of his zipper to attach a jumper cable to. At which point I was like, what the fuck is going on? This is
sexy. And the whole time, Luis Guzman is afraid that Randy Quaid's going to wake up and fuck him to death.
Yeah. Right.
And that, cause
go
that's
Terminator
what they say.
On him.
That's what they, yeah. He talks about that fear before. So I was thinking we'd see some of that.
That's by the way, real, even, and you were excited for it, I bet. Yeah, of course.
Just FYI, those they were like dead,
that's for your
right?
information.
Yes.
They died. They ran out of air. And then they should have died because that was like
I believe
2 minutes.
They did die.
I mean,
but here, then they were woken back up with just
yeah,
the breath
magic,
of oxygen.
With magic stuff.
Well,
magic.
Let's even just talk about this scene. Their car blows up. Their amazing car, which is being piloted by John Cleese, which we'll
get
to.
Why do all futuristic space cars look like old-timey cars from
the
1930s?
Same reason that all the women had 40s hairstyles.
Yes. Which is what?
Yeah.
Because they
the
had
moon,
like
the moon
retro
is going on a different...
It's a retro angle.
So what basically, their car is blown up, and then Rosario Dawson's like, oh my God, what are we going to do? We don't have food or water.
They're in spacesuits.
They're
out on the surface of the moon now.
Right.
And he's like, well, don't worry about food or water because we're going to run out of air sooner than later. And they die because they run out of air. And then all of a sudden comes this space Winnebago
driven
with Louis,
by Guzman.
Louis Guzman. This is not even a first draft of the movie. This is like kind of an outline that was like one ever even looked at or gave notes. It was like morning pages. This is morning pages. Like,
and then
and then he comes.
This is the artist's way.
Or it's like
people were journaling this movie. Somebody journaled this movie.
I feel like people skipped by it and probably got dailies and were like, wait, what the fuck? Did they just die?
Yeah.
Did they just die in the fucking movie?
No, don't worry, though. We've established that no one travels on this side of the moon, but we'll definitely make a guy in a random...
Yeah, we'll just have a guy drive by and give him a little bit of oxygen, and guess what? They're fine.
That was the best song, the song he was listening to.
That was good.
There's a lot of amazingly bad hip hop. It's like somebody tried to, like, whoever was doing the music were like, let's combine it. It's like, it's hip hop, but it's old school. So it's like, everything is a mixture of like, it's like
soft.
Brown. Like, that's what I feel like. It's like, we'll mix red and blue and we'll get brown.
Well,
everything
in this movie, the music especially, but like the costuming and everything was like, okay, let's take what people are super into right now and then think about how it might be future-ish.
Yeah,
like,
so just cut a hole out of her, just the bottom part of her pants.
Like, how's it going to be like just crazy future moon music?
Well, I mean, I think the best future vision was when they go to pay him $10 million, and all the dollar bills are
Hillary
Clinton.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boom. Still works. The joke still works.
Killing it.
What about moon dancing?
The moon dance.
What the fuck was that?
Now, they paid money for a choreographer. They said, come up with a moon dance.
Not only a choreographer, those were clearly not just background extras. Those were dancers.
Those were actual dancers.
Those were dancers.
Same dancers who I believe used in the space rave in The Matrix 2.
Yeah. Basically, their moon dance is, I would describe it as... Punching and stepping. Yeah.
And also like this. There's lots of right angle movement.
A lot of perpendicular steps.
And they're not dancing with each other. They're very separate. They're all very separate from each other.
Life on the moon is lonely.
I guess so. And you have to like, don't touch. Like, you got to be just like,
it's
don't
very
get
mechanical.
Too close. And, yes, it is. It's like everybody's a robot.
Robot.
Guys, I can't talk today.
Did you guys like the Smart Water ad that Eddie Murphy stands in front of?
Yeah.
When they're giving some information, they stand in front of a Smart Water ad.
Glasso. Wait, can we get back to what was John Cleese's role in that car?
Like, right, so
what
John was Cleese was the butler
function?
Of the car, but he was not
car butler.
He didn't provide any information to further
the
plot.
He was a hologram.
No.
I'm fairly certain he shot that part in his own house in London.
They didn't even really put him in costume. He's not even in a butler costume. He's in like an okay suit.
He found an old cap and put it on and just put himself on.
At a certain point, Randy Quaid, John Cleese is a hologram or a video screen.
He's not a person. Yeah.
He's not a person. He's a hologram or a video screen, whatever, who's like, you're not the owner of this car. You can't drive this car. I'm calling the police.
That's
Randy
a really
Quaid,
good John
thank
Cleese
you.
Impression.
By the way, thank you so much.
You should audition for
the Minister
SNL.
Of Silly Walks. Okay, listen. Then Randy Quaid points a gun at the computer screen and is like, we got to get out of here. And he's like, okay. Like,
you can't kill a hologram.
That's what?
The hologram should have no fear of mortality.
Of course.
Yeah. Boy,
but I guess
really
if robots are horny...
I wish I was a hologram.
That's a lost Philip K. Dick novel, I think.
Oh,
a hologram should have no fear of mortality.
And then they have these like terrible ads throughout all the like thing. Like they sometimes do these overhead shots of like Moon Village or whatever they're in, Little America, and it's and they're not funny nor are they interesting. Like one is need lumbar support? We'll replace your spine with a lunar lumbar support. Yeah. It's nothing. It's not going for a joke. Maybe that's in the future.
Stuff like that to me was all like, oof, you know what? We need all of these big establishing shots of the world that we created and spent hundreds of millions of dollars on, but it's boring. Let's ADR some like advertisements then they wrote those lines, which were horrible.
I realized I started to feel insane halfway through the movie because there's no sunlight.
It's dark the entire time.
It's like when you go to Vegas and you start to feel sick to your stomach because it's a smell of. It's almost like
the movie gave me seasonal affective disorder.
It did. I have sad.
You
mean sads?
I can have sad.
You know what else this movie made me feel? A certain sickness that I've only felt when I watched Howard the Duck. That's a good comparison.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And what is that? Is it the time
with Howard the Color?
Yeah, it's like those big, bold, like, I remember it very clearly when she brings him at one point lunch, and every item on the tray, from the glasses to everything, is so brightly colored and crazy looking that I was like, that is perfectly the problem with this movie.
But again, I maintain that in 2000, 2002, the production designer should have had a better aesthetic than this.
It was the same guy as Cool as Ice.
It was?
No, it wasn't. But it might as well have been.
The director was the same director who directed City Slickers.
Yeah, City Slickers.
I don't know. I remember enjoying that film.
I love City Slickers.
Yeah.
So
I didn't know that.
Mighty Joe Young as well.
And Tremors 4.
Was that about a gorilla?
His career.
Tremors 1.
Yeah, Tremors 1. He kind of went down that.
Which is a cult favorite. Don't people like Tremors? Worms come out of the...
Aren't people still into Tremors, guys?
Guys?
We all like Tremors.
Guys, no, but seriously, people are on board.
All
with
I
Tremors.
Remember about Tremors is that my friend Jenny started fucking around with my boyfriend at the time, Tom Hall.
When Tremors came out, it was during
a youth group lock-in.
While you were watching Tremors,
she got fingered.
It might not have been Jenny.
He was your boyfriend,
Francis. What?
He was your boyfriend and he fingered someone during Tremors in a youth lock-in?
I just said finger.
Well, okay. Either way, that would actually be the best way to...
I'm sorry if fingered is the wrong word.
To get fingered during Tremors might be the best
thing that could ever happen.
Well, that's the thing. As the worm's coming out of the fucking ground, you know where the worm is going into. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? A wiener in her mouth.
Yeah.
Speaking of sex scenes... The moment when Sweaty Murphy kisses Rosario Dawson is the strangest.
Oh, yeah.
They kiss for a while because he's hiding from one of the mafia guys.
Right.
And we never see his angle on the kiss, by the way. Only
it's
hers.
By the way, I bet it's his body double did that.
You can see how many times.
Because they never cut to him.
By the way, he did another movie with Rosario Dawson. Go ahead, yeah.
But anyway, then she finally pulls away from the kiss, and she gives like a 15-second reaction take, which is just that her socks have been blown off. Now this kiss, there's no mouth movement. It's like just like two mouths have been like puzzle pieces.
Yes, it is really upsetting.
Okay,
there's nothing happening. Whoa!
Wait a minute! Isn't that how you kiss?
Oh God!
Wait! Guys! Whoa! Stop
no,
the
but
clock.
In all seriousness. This is how you kiss.
Guys, you mash your mouth together.
Yeah.
And then wait.
And it's
you
a kind of,
it's you such, don't ha-
I push
no
my
movement.
Lips to her lips. I count to 60. I pull away and I watch her come.
Yeah. And she was like, "Oh my." I mean, she reacted floored by that kiss.
Another romantic moment that I really enjoyed was when he went to the Remember, he went and got champagne.
Oh yeah!
And literally 2 seconds later, he turned around and she was asleep.
Asleep.
John Cleese had said, "Now you guys are going to get busy, right?
Yes.
You're going to take have your way with her."
Yeah.
And then he turned around and he was like, "Oh, she's asleep," and put his coat over.
He also very awkwardly, and I don't know why I remember this, but in the final scene where she realizes that he has killed bad Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
And then he is the real Eddie Murphy. He kissed her on the top of the shoulder. He was like, did I scare you? And then like kissed her.
Oh, yeah, well, there was something that
was
very fatherly.
To me, I didn't want them to get together because it was like, that was his best friend's daughter.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they established.
He should have felt fatherly and not
No, wait a second.
Let's talk about Eddie Murphy's mother for a hot second.
Pam Grier?
Yeah.
She was phenomenal.
Pam Grier. I mean, this movie.
She brought her own wardrobe.
Is that her own hair?
She did her own hair and makeup, and she brought her own wardrobe. I hope we're all clear.
Oh, yes, I'm clear about that. And her own weapons. Yes. And then she just would disappear from scenes that she had just been running past.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Remember that?
Probably because they couldn't locate her on set. They're like, we can't get. Last time we saw her, she was at craft service.
Let's just keep shooting. Let's pretend like she just wasn't here, I guess.
Yeah. Keep on going.
And that old cop that she was in love with that she would never marry.
Peter Boyle?
They never followed through on that.
No.
He was killed.
I wanted to see them get together, though, before he was killed.
And then she was so upset.
I feel
upset.
Like they shot that scene and we just never saw
they
it.
They never followed through.
I would
through.
Love to have seen a sex scene between Pam Grier and Peter Boyle.
Oh.
That would have made that movie worth it.
Like, everybody has a question for real. If
Absolutely.
You lived in a future world in which you had like a robot bodyguard or a robot maid or whatever, would you have sex in front of the robot?
Well, no. I thought
this
we were actually
an earnest question because people were always almost getting it on while the robot was there.
Well, and I think that was here's what was weird about that. I thought we were setting up that when the robot was being charged,
they was
could
not conscious.
Hear things, but they didn't understand what they were hearing. Right?
No, that was only when they were getting
was only when they were getting a phone call.
Yeah,
yeah.
When he was transcribing a phone call.
Because I thought what we were building toward was a sex scene between Rosaria Dawson and Murphs, which the robot would have witnessed. And they would have thought he didn't hear anything, but then he would have.
But the reason that Murphy didn't get rid of
really thought about this.
Never had his robot was because he kept 20 years of secrets. Remember? He didn't want to get rid of. He said,
I can't get all my smuggle secrets.
Smuggle secrets.
So that's also the name of a smuggle secret.
So you guys, here's a very.
You know what I'm going to do to you later?
I'm going to smuggle secret the shit out of you.
I'm
going
to give you all my smuggle secrets.
You guys, here's a serious question.
Another one?
Yeah.
All right.
Did the bad guys in the movie want to just build casinos on the moon and get gambling there, or also want a clone on the moon?
No, I think it was just secrets.
The clone was because they knew that Eddie Murphy could be a good club runner.
How did they know that from when he was in prison?
No idea.
Okay, but
how did they know from prison that he would... This is a huge problem.
That's why I thought he was already a club owner.
How did they know in prison when they made a clone of him that he would then go on to run a club?
They just thought he was a good smuggler and this guy would have... He'd be good. He'd be a puppet. He'd be a puppet and he'd be real good. It was a leap of faith. But what they didn't predict was that he was... That he did have that.
That he would have a mind of his own.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm asking though is, was cloning in the in the world of this movie, were a lot of people cloned?
No, I don't.
Well,
think
yeah,
so.
I
cloning
mean,
is
Jay
illegal.
Wife, Jay Moore cloned his wife,
and so was his old partner.
But yeah. cloning is illegal. Remember?
Yeah, it was banned.
It was made illegal, and that doctor had to go out of business, and then Ileana Douglas had to do it on the sly.
But also, Peter Boyle's. He goes. You know, Peter Boyle visits one of his old cop friends in like a mini scene where he's like, oh man, the old days. You know, wasn't it good to be partners? And he's like, yeah, but. I'm a clone. You know, he didn't say that, but then he kills him. But he's a clone too. But I want to talk about the Alec Baldwin scene.
The Robert De Niro scene?
You think that Alec Baldwin is going to be the big bad guy of the movie. It's like he finds out that this mafia guy, the plot is incomprehensible. It's like, it is like the worst Raymond Chandler novel. It's like a Raymond Chandler novel, like certain pages were ripped out, so you can't make it make sense. But
by like somebody who normally writes like a Nickelodeon TV show.
Exactly. And so now Alec Baldwin pops up as this mafia guy who talks about making gambling, then pushes a guy down the stairs.
On camera.
And then also pulls a reporter close to him and is like, hey, honey, you want to ask me questions? Come to my hotel room later in the night. And
on camera. On a news camera.
It was all on Court TV, live on Court TV. Because again, Court TV has been huge in the future.
Yep, 2087, Court TV.
What happened
we
to
never
Alec,
see Alec Baldwin?
Guys,
again.
I feel really upset right now because boy. I don't know. I might have fallen asleep during the reveal of Eddie Murphy's clone. And here is my question. I thought that perhaps Alec Baldwin's brain had been put into Eddie Murphy's body.
Yeah, well, that's what happened.
Is that what happened?
Sure. No.
We blew it.
You just blew it.
What happened to Alec Baldwin? I thought he was in charge. He's Rex.
Uh-huh.
What happened to him?
He's not Rex.
No, he's not Rex.
Eddie Murphy is Rex Carter. I don't understand what's happening.
Eddie Murphy was fighting himself the entire movie.
I feel scared right now.
I know. I feel scared
and upset right now. I don't. What happened? Who was he then?
All right. So what?
He was the Earth version of Rex Carter. Let her describe
what happened to him.
Yeah. What do you think happened?
I don't know.
Break it down for us.
You saw two Eddie Murphys, and what did you think at that point?
I thought that
when
the Murph on Murph fight broke out.
Rex Carter had somehow gotten
into the brain of the Eddie Murphy so that the whole time he was looking to kill himself.
As himself or as Rex Carter?
No, I don't know.
Basically what I'm understanding is at some point in that last scene, you thought bad Eddie Murphy was going to like unzip himself
and be
Alec Baldwin.
Yes.
I thought he was living inside of him.
This is the way I understand this movie.
Living with inside of him.
This is the first time that genuine How Did This Get Made confusion has almost reduced a guest to tears.
If you guys could see me right now, I've taken off all my clothes and I'm shivering in the corner.
And it is not cool.
This is how I understand it. Basically, Alec Baldwin was a mafia guy, and he was
How did you know? From the footage.
On Earth.
Oh, hey, these guys is crazy. I'm the rubber to do blah, 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 you know.
I mean, it is like, it's like a great Alec Baldwin on SNL sketch.
Yeah. Yep.
And so he decided, okay, I gotta get control of the moon, but how I'm gonna do it? I'm gonna clone a guy who's a really great smuggler, get him up there, and he's gonna work for me. And then he did that, cloned Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy's like, hey, guess what? Alec Baldwin, you get out of here. I don't like you. And he shot him into space. And then Eddie Murphy grew his power and then decided to hurt the other Eddie Murphy, hurt himself. Because he wanted
None
to buy his
of what own you're blood. Saying makes any sense.
Okay, so I agree.
I'm not stupid.
No, you're not a stupid person.
Well, here's the other point I'd like to make
there
is that Eddie Murphy, the good Eddie Murphy, really only had one club. Pluto Nash, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't like he had an empire.
No, but he had the most profitable club in America. How much money do you...
How many Hillarys do you think that... that
it was worth 10 million Hillary.
It was 10 million.
That's what they were going to offer
10 million is not so that much.
Not much.
But in 2087, how 10 much...
10 million is not much now.
But
never mind in 2087.
They were offering him to buy it I know. Off of him. So how much, like, nightly do you think he was clearing?
Oh, interesting.
Do you know
well,
what I mean?
Are there taxes on the moon? Do we know?
There are no taxes.
For him to walk away, for him to walk away from that, $10 million,
yeah.
And he didn't seem to seem insulted by the 10 million. He was more insulted by the fact they were offering to buy him out.
Okay, I have now, I feel like I now have what I thought was the understanding of the end of the movie that I now think might also be wrong.
Okay.
What do you got? Tell us what you think.
When it's revealed that Eddie Murphy is the bad guy, right?
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
But he has still the name, right?
Right. He is.
No, he's Rex Carter.
Yeah.
Rex Carter.
He has Rex Carter. Okay.
So this is what I couldn't understand because I was like, oh, what he's going to do is kill Pluto Nash and then become Pluto Nash because he is him. Then he can run. He can have ownership of the club and he doesn't have to buy it. He doesn't have to do anything because he actually looks exactly like
you
the guy who wants to be.
He was just going to sort of assume the role of Pluto Nash.
And then he was like, but I'm going to call it. Planet Rex or Club Rex instead of Club Pluto or whatever.
So
and then I was like, okay, well that doesn't make sense now because if you called it Club Pluto, now you're just taking over and then building on whatever it is you want to do. You can make it the club a casino because you are being him.
But that was not his plan.
Right.
That actually is a better plan.
Thank you, Paul.
I think that is a better plan, but here's the thing.
Let's do it.
No one's seen Eddie Murphy as Rex Carter.
Yes.
Rex Carter
Except
is
for
on
one person, James Rebhorn, right?
Yeah, yes. James Rebhorn, why was he in this movie?
Why was anybody in this
movie? So we're to understand that Rex Carter was just living in the penthouse of this hotel.
Never going outside?
Correct. Never going outside. Never seeing anyone
in Lunar Beach
except for James Rebhorn.
Exactly.
So how did Rex Carter come into existence?
Alec Baldwin
cloned him.
Cloned him when Eddie Murphy got in his appendix surgery back in jail.
Here's a question about it.
And then what happened to WDW?
Well, what happened was once Eddie Murphy clone found out that they were using him as a puppet, he's like, I don't like to be used as a puppet. So I blasted them into space.
So that happened. Did I see that scene?
Oh, he said that. He got like blasted.
No, that's a scene we should have seen.
Yeah, I didn't.
Show don't tell.
You don't
show
don't tell.
Show don't tell.
I'm not an experienced writer, but what I do know is you don't say a big plot point like I need to see that.
Yeah, I had no idea that happened. I need a visual on that one.
Well, yeah, you needed a flashback.
Or maybe he could have had him cryogenically, like bring back the chihuahua, call back to the chihuahua.
Yeah.
We could have had him in a freezer.
That made me very sad.
Ooh, yeah, that made me upset. They cryogenically freeze chihuahuas to bring them to the planet.
So when you clone someone, like this movie's...
Just say it. Like,
this movie has the most questions we've ever had.
Hands
down, the worst movie we've ever done, right?
When they cloned Pluto Nash, that Rex Carter arrived just in the same age, same body, same everything.
Yes, with all of the memories.
So
I believe
of Pluto
Rex
Nash.
Carter is, as much as he is identical to Eddie Murphy, he is only about 5 years old.
Actually, right. yes. What I'm realizing now, though...
He has all the memories of the 40-year-old Eddie Murphy.
He would be over 7 years old because they did that happen when he was in prison.
Yes, yes. I'm sorry, you're right.
Wait, do you guys think, though, that they shot a scene of actually seeing his appendix come out and seeing him in prison for a while?
No.
Oh, really? Because while I was watching it, I thought... They were never going to start opening on the opening on Jay Moore. We probably should have seen a very low stakes scene. Yes,
yeah.
We should have seen him in prison for a while, serving his prison time, Jean Valjean style.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
if they had made this movie more like Les Mis, we wouldn't be here right now. We should have seen the appendix come out, and then we should have seen him out.
But then that would have ruined the line later, which was, "Hey, remember when you were in prison and you got your appendix out, Eddie Murphy? Yeah, of course." Guy, well,
right.
We made a clone of you, and then Baba, and that would, it would have taken away that monologue that explained all of that.
Yeah, I did that when I auditioned for grad school in acting. I did that monologue.
Oh my God, that's so awesome.
Yeah, I didn't get in.
You didn't?
No.
Shocking.
No.
Wait a second, let me just, please.
So, but we've, the comparison that we have in the movie itself, in the world of the movie, when someone is cloned, they behave exactly the same way because Jay Moore's wife was cloned,
and he gets to say which one's which, and he says, who's care?
Right? And then they speak at the same time. They suck his dick at the same time, right?
That's why you cloned a wife.
Do you think they shot a scene where they sucked his dick at the same time?
I think they wanted to.
Because I would have watched that over and over again.
So... Basically, what is this guy? How is this second Eddie?
Absolutely right. Something went wrong in that cloning.
Why does he have free will? Basically.
Now, can I ask this? I don't understand anything about this movie. But were the bad clone Eddie Murphy?
Yes.
Was he currently becoming very popular in the building that popular casino while Pluto Nash was doing his own club? And why didn't they know about it? Is Lunar Beach so far away from where
Pluto
Nash
was? Well, Lunar Beach is on the other side of the moon.
But don't they communicate?
But no one's ever seen bad Eddie Murphy. They don't know that he's just a name.
But did Eddie Murphy think to himself, well, that's weird. There's another, what was it called, Pluto something?
No, it was a casino. And it was all Rex
Eddie
Carver.
That was the whole big reveal at the end. It was like, who is Rex Carver? And then the chair turned.
And then it was him.
It was Eddie Murphy.
I thought it was going to be Ileana Douglas.
I thought it was going to be Alec Baldwin because they set him up.
So did I. Yeah.
No, but you could see that it was a little person.
And you also thought, Paul, because you said it out loud, that you thought it was going to be Jay Moore.
I thought Jay Moore
at a certain point.
Did anybody else notice that when Luis Guzman was at the casino and he was supposed to be surrounded by like a gorgeous woman, that those were the saddest group
of
extras you've ever seen in your life?
The one with the lace down the front looked pregnant.
Those were the extras.
In my mind, the story I told myself was, oh, these are porn stars and there's going to be a scene later where they're naked. Because I was like,
that's wishful thinking, I guess.
It was, but I was like,
I don't know why.
These girls look so broken and gross. I was like, I bet they're going to have to do a nude scene later.
It's rough stuff.
They may have just gone to the city walk and gathered up some women they found and put them in the movie.
They could have shot this entire movie in a Bubba Gump shrimp factory.
I will. It looked like they did.
It looks like that.
The movie in Times Square, like 20,000.
Oh, Mars 2012.
Mars
2012. Have you ever been to New York? That restaurant has better production value.
Yes.
But the
movie cost $100 million to make.
Yes.
$100 million.
And it was Eddie Murphy's budget.
And opening weekend, $2 million.
That's insane.
Do you think Eddie Murphy
should have killed himself after this.
Do you think he demanded twice his fee since he was cloned in the movie?
I have to say, I am not. Did he get? This is the beginning.
I wonder about that maid. That maid played like 20 different maids in
it.
Yeah,
that was the same maid from the hotel.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same girl. Wow.
So you think all those models of those robots look exactly alike?
But what about
Randy
Quaid?
Why didn't we see more Randy Quaid's?
Because he was a 63.
Yeah, because he's an old model.
Can I just say, though, I think that regardless of how bad this movie was, I didn't feel like Eddie Murphy was phoning it in. He didn't seem...
He was acting.
He was acting.
No, no, he was acting.
Not, I will say this, it was not in his wheelhouse.
No,
because... We're asking him.
I don't know what they were even asking, because it's not an action movie.
I wanted to laugh.
He was doing a lot of naturalistic acting, a lot of lower energy stuff.
Yes.
Which I don't know. We're not paying our tickets to see low energy.
Well, also, like, this is, if I'm not mistaken, like, the era of Nutty Professor and, like, his big kind of crazy roles.
And I'll tell you what, there were some shots when he just smiles and laughs even a little where I found myself very charming.
Yeah, I agree. I was
very
right with
me
you.
Too.
I
was like,
and I did really feel, there's a great moment. Only because I was obsessed with the movie as a Star Wars ripoff in a lot of ways.
That's very kind.
The lunar chase, he's basically Han Solo, who's a smuggler, all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And then in the first big shootout, she runs in and she screams, "It's a trap."
Yeah,
which is like a total Star Wars line. I wonder if they're making this, if they're doing this on purpose, burying these little Star Wars references.
I will say, just to put it in perspective, this is a very sad time in Eddie Murphy's career. This movie came out, these are the movies that came out roughly around Pluto Nash.
Probably.
Dr. Dolittle 2, Showtime, Eddie Murphy and Robert De Niro, I Spy, Eddie Murphy and Owen Wilson. And then it was
Norbit?
Haunted Mansion.
Oh no!
And then I guess he didn't really get back on track. And then Dreamgirls came out.
Was this around the time of his arrest?
No, that's. I think
let's get a date on that.
Yeah,
I love
get that.
I think that's
could you
earlier.
Access the cloud.
Yes, I'm gonna get on that right
access
now.
Access the cloud if you
computer.
Could. I'll share.
Computer, search for criminal masterminds, Earthlings. Initials WZW.
97 he was arrested.
But it's not that. That's 5 years. That's not a long time.
I don't think he was bringing that baggage in.
Yeah, I did, because I felt there was sadness behind his eyes. That's what I saw.
You know what? I
gotta
say, the first scene when his friend, again, did he know Jay Moore before?
Yeah, they were old friends.
Okay, fine. But that first scene when his best friend's about to get acid
and he
poured
didn't
down
care.
His throat,
he was just playing it cool.
It was so casual.
He didn't care.
He did not give a fuck.
You know what's interesting? Game of that scene, though, guys.
This is what I felt.
Even the gangsters were playing it.
Kind of.
Was it?
That scene is the best scene in the movie. Everybody's playing it more real. Eddie Murphy is dressed in normal clothing.
Yes.
And the minute it goes 7 years later, it is as if... It's everybody's in colorful zoot suits. It's like the moon is suddenly Disneyland or a weird.
Like, I felt like the first scene was like Barry Levinson could have directed it.
Yes.
You know, and then they fired
him, and
they brought in
Barry Sonnenfeld.
Except for the jug of battery acid. Now, clearly, we did not love this movie, but there are some people who really did. And now it's time for a second opinion. These are reviews from Amazon.com. People who had a different thought about this film. If you want to relax and have fun while eating popcorn, then this is the movie for you.
Politely disagree.
5 stars.
No.
What?
I love that because that's just about having something to do while
you
eat popcorn.
You don't need an excuse, by the way.
Yes,
you can eat it whenever you want.
Nope, this guy thinks it's a...
If you
get a bag
have
of smart food, eat it whenever you want.
If you
eat your car already
while
eating
you're
popcorn,
eating it.
If you
while you're eating it, you need to do something.
Well, if you want a secondary activity to your main activity, which
that
is...
That won't distract you from it.
Shoveling popcorn in your fat fucking face... Then you could do worse than look at this moving image.
Here's another 5-star review from J. Neil Schulman. Pluto Nash just tells a good, solid, well-plotted near-future science fiction adventure story with a light touch. The sort of story that fans of Heinlein's short stories, It's Great to Be Back, and The Menace from Earth would appreciate.
But
maybe sci-fi fans, maybe there's something of the serial nature of the
I don't
know. This guy goes, I'm a big fan of Star Wars, Spaceballs, and Titan A.E., and this goes right on the shelf next to those.
In that, by the way, that's the perfect order. That's a perfect order in descending order of great movie to Drek.
I love Spaceballs.
Spaceballs
is number two.
Yeah, Spaceballs number two. Star Wars, Spaceballs, Titan A.E.
Garbage.
Terrible garbage. And then Pluto Nash. Those movies actually don't share anything in common.
It's like, I love Citizen Kane. I love Caddyshack.
Sea of Love with Al Pacino.
Abduction with Taylor Lautner.
And How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. With Kate Hudson.
I enjoy that
great
movie.
Film.
Oh, my God.
No, you don't. Movie. Nobody enjoys that movie.
Yes, we did enjoy
great
that movie.
Chemistry. In the movie. Yeah, they did.
Any final
She'll
thoughts on this?
Things dress, that
we have not gorgeous. Addressed?
Can we just give a shout out to the one man orchestra joke?
Oh, that was pretty good.
That was a joke.
Made me smile.
Can we talk about Randy Quaid as a robot, please? Do we have any clips of Randy Quaid as the robot
there
talking?
There are no clips online for
I'm
me
telling
to pull.
You guys, watch this movie just for the Randy Quaid scenes.
He's
which,
great.
Yeah.
Which he, you know what he is like? It's like he's a cartoon character in a movie. You know what I mean? Like he moves.
He's a human cartoon.
He moves at crazy angles. He speaks with a modulated robot voice.
You know what? I just found a clip. I can maybe I can play
he's
it.
Bald.
Here.
He's bald with like zapper heads things in his
Did
head.
Did they make him taller than he is? How tall is Randy Quaid?
Well, everybody knows Randy Quaid is 6'7".
Is he? Well, I think that's promising basketball
that's
career.
Universally
he's a
known.
Tall man, for sure.
No, but he looked much, but Eddie Murphy's not a big man.
No, he's teeny tiny.
Yeah, he's a teeny tiny person.
Also liked when Luis Guzman said that Pluto Nash was the Tito Puente of rail hopping.
Yes.
Which is their term for smuggling.
Which I was like, why make that reference? That reference is, at this point, 100 years old.
Mm-hmm. Again, they watch Jimmy. Yeah, they're not.
They were watching that Humphrey Bogart. Yeah. Oh, that was a nice cut. When that guy got shot to and fell down to the Humphrey Bogart movie where the same was happening. So,
no, it's. What is that? Public Enemy? Is that James Cagney? Public Enemy?
Yeah, that was Public. I think that was Public Enemy.
It probably cost a lot to get that clip. That's why they didn't have the money.
That was $100 million.
Those extras were so ugly.
Yeah, that's why they didn't get such fugly extras.
We spent all the money paying Eddie Murphy twice.
Yeah.
And on that clip of James Cagney.
Would you guys recommend people watching this movie? I don't think I would.
No,
I don't think so.
It's not even fun.
It's not fun.
It's not fun. It felt like homework.
Here's the thing.
It's like, I gotta get through this.
I felt bad for you guys watching.
At a certain point, I was like, fuck, this is interminable. How much do I have left? And I'd only been watching 24 minutes.
Yeah.
And I almost burst into tears.
Yeah,
because there is no joy.
Your life is precious. Do you know what I mean? Your moments.
My time is worth more than this.
Like sands in an hourglass. Yeah. So go the days of our lives. Don't waste it watching Pluto Nash. And it's only
an hour and 34 minutes. It is not a long movie.
I watched it in two installments.
Oh,
you know what?
Me too.
It should have been a TV series.
Yeah.
Well, clearly they primed it for... I feel like there are more adventures out there. We just not one.
We did the work for you on this one. Do not watch this movie.
Really? Or watch like 10 minutes just to be like, oh, that's why this
is so
bad.
But don't watch... Yeah. Well, you could watch the beginning since that's the best scene.
Well, that's... It's not the best scene as much as it is just like the scene that seems most... Uh-huh. I don't know.
That's where you'll also be the most confused because you're going to say, is this a drama? Is this a comedy?
One last thing, Paul. When Eddie Murphy gets all the fixins for a martini, Rosario Dawson brings it up, and he doesn't make a martini in the glass, he just drinks the vodka.
He makes it in his mouth.
Was that a joke?
Well,
of course.
He didn't chew the olive, also, he swallowed that thing whole.
Yeah,
I have a question.
Okay. There were 40 olives.
I have a question. So they get to the hotel, right? They get to Lunar Beach. They check into the hotel, and the guy's like, and they get tickets to see Jay Moore perform.
Then they get recognized.
Yes. Then no, not yet. First,
robot gets
first. The guy's like, well, it's black ties, but we have rentals available, right? So then they cut to them, and they're in black tie attire, which I assume means
she has
they
a dress
rented
that
it.
Fits her like a glove.
I assume they rented this stuff.
Wow.
And then when Eddie Murphy gets brought up to see Rex Gardner, whatever his name is, John Carver from Mars. When Eddie Murphy gets brought up, he and Rex
are wearing
identical clothes.
Yes.
And why is
that? So do we presume that the guy who's the criminal mastermind rented his tux as well?
No, he makes everybody, he goes, well, look, I'm going to wear this. the same tux every day. And they're like, oh, well, let's, you know, I think he's like.
How do they wind up in the same clothes?
To me, it's a Steve
Harvey. Because they have to.
They also make a reference, though, to the fact that he can afford to get his own tux. He doesn't have to rent it, right?
To me, I saw him like the Steve Harvey of the moon. I saw him as like, he has a line of tuxes.
Right, but how
does. You're going to rent these tuxes.
He knows what's going to happen because he has access to everything in Eddie Murphy's brain.
What?
So no, he could have cloned.
Whoa! No. He doesn't know the future.
Nobody said. He said he has.
He
access.
Can remember. He remembers.
Yes, but he
only
can remember.
From before appendix surgery.
Guys, there is no reason why they are in other than they need it for shoot him.
The
there's
classic
no
vaudeville routine. You don't think that Rex Carter had a gazillion cameras in that hotel and knew that Eddie Murphy, good Eddie Murphy, Pluto Nash, was heading up that way
and had rented
and
tux,
was wearing that
and
tux
and was like, quick, get me that tux
for dramatic effect.
Get me that tux.
Be great when I turn around in this chair.
Get me that tux in case we get in a scenario. Where a gun is loose and both of us are standing there and we need to do one of those classic shoot him, no shoot hims. Like, what? Who? How? Wait, what? No, they just.
It's never going to make any sense. It's everything about this movie. If it's not lazy, it's
offensive.
So, it's offensive on so
it's
many
misogynistic.
Levels.
The guns look like super soakers.
I've read like short stories by like second graders that make more linear sense in this movie. But so do not go see this movie.
Ever.
But do tune in to Best Friends Forever, which is Wednesday nights, 8:30, 7:30 Central.
Takes place on the moon, ironically enough.
Really?
Yeah, now you have two best friends who live on the moon.
It's more of the adventures of Pluto Nash, right?
You guys are trying to open up a
the
club.
The further adventures of
it's called
Pluto
Best
Nash.
Friends Forever.
Pluto
Nash and Bruno.
Yeah, and Lennon and I got zoot suits made to fit us like a glove.
Is there a riot?
Like a second skin.
Is there a riot in any of the episodes?
I know that you finished your first season, but I would like to ask that if you do a second season, you should have a club owner come in, Pluto Nash come in.
I love
it. Yeah. Like, do you have a local bar that you go to in the show?
Yeah, of course.
What's it called?
It's going to be called Club Pluto. We never.
Please.
Yeah, we're going to do that.
You're going to want to ADR that.
You're going to want to ADR that in.
Also, I do love that his name is Pluto and they're on the moon, not
but everybody else's
guys.
Names are like Dina and Tony.
He wasn't born on the moon, right? Eddie Murphy?
But they talk about how they want to go back to Earth. It seems like it would be easy to go back.
But he also.
I think he was born on. I think he
grew up on the moon. Remember, he shows her the stars through the car window, and he's like, when I was a kid, I used to come out here and look at the stars and try and count them.
And then when he went to Earth, all he wanted to do was get back.
But then he hates not being. He hates being on the moon because he can't see the moon from the ground.
Where did they get their vitamin D is what I want to know.
You know what we didn't talk about?
2 weeks. 2 weeks of darkness, 2 weeks of light.
You know what we didn't talk about at all?
Is that right?
Yes. That's what he said. Night lasts for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We were just in the darkness part.
Oh, man.
Guys, can we talk about the varying degrees of gravity that affected them throughout the movie?
I have my favorite.
And then she's just like floats back down to the ground.
The laws of physics
people,
do not apply.
Sometimes
to
they
movie.
Can just walk around outside, but sometimes they float away. Sometimes things they throw just float around,
that's
and sometimes
true.
They can throw them at each. It was like I was like, is there gravity here?
Okay,
what is
my favorite part is Rosario Dawson puts on the spacesuit. She puts it on and goes wee, and she just jumps up. And he's like, that was fun.
Yeah.
Like, that's the extent of her exploring weightlessness.
$100 million and there were no more like zero gravity scenes.
There was the big shootout zero gravity scene.
By the way, every gun in this movie, whenever they shoot it, an explosion happens.
Yes.
Nothing, no bullets. It's just like.
And they all sound like, they all look like regular guns from now, but they go, pew!
Yeah,
pew, like the laser sound is so amazingly terrible.
I actually thought to myself that perhaps Pluto Nash was bought the idea just from the description of, and we're going to have a fight scene in anti-gravity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could be enough for somebody
That's how Inception got made.
I think it was bought based on that last scene.
On the last
Murph's
scene?
On Murph.
Murph's on Murph's
action. Oh, yes.
That's why he signed on to do it.
Yeah.
We're never going to make sense of it until we get the writer on. So
this
is
going to be the longest podcast ever just because we're so confused.
Please, if you are involved in this movie, come on. Let's make some sense.
We should try and get Victor Vernado
Victor has said some funny stories about it. I wonder if he'll now talk about it 12 years later.
Mm-hmm.
You also, your show is available. You can watch it immediately online. So whenever you listen to this, if it's not Wednesday, but if you're not setting your DVRs, you can watch the whole pilot episode.
Get a bag of popcorn. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. How is
it? You're going to have to watch something.
You're going to have to watch
something. Popcorn fun?
It does. It does. It's usually such a chore.
Is Best there, Friends Forever, Wednesday night, 8:30.
I never know where to put my eyes when I'm eating popcorn.
Is there nudity in your show?
Uh-huh. Yes. Male nudity.
Really? Male nudity.
And then a hot scene between Lennon and I where I pull her on top of me in a bathtub and she almost drowned me.
It's episode two.
In episode two.
This is the most excited to see this show out of any show that's coming out.
So that's how I feel about Betty White's Granny.
I know.
So what are you just going to call Granny's Gone Wild?
I was going to say Granny Wars. By the way, I'm pitching a show called Granny Wars.
As always, you can follow myself at Paul Scheer on Twitter, June at Miss June Diane. Jason is not on Twitter, but visit us on our Facebook page and at the earwolf.com site. Leave us comments, questions, whatever. We look at them. And hopefully we'll be selling our new t-shirt very shortly. So that's it for us. Thank you very much. See you next time.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.
Hey, everybody, it's Paul Scheer.
And I'm Amy Nicholson.
And we have a brand new podcast called Unspooled, where we are watching the 100 greatest films of all time.
Voted on by the AFI. We're going to be starting at number one, Citizen Kane, jumping to number 100 with Ben-Hur, and doing films that we've never even watched before.
And we'll be talking to experts, whether it's a cinematographer or a stuntman. We're going to get behind these movies and figure out what makes them so great. So if you like the way this sounds, why don't you subscribe right now to Unspooled, wherever you listen to your podcasts.